Welcome to That's a Chunky. This is Kevin. Jared fell coming out of a theater today. He's on bed rest for 3 weeks in Jenna's living room. And I would not want to be Jenna right now. So he's not here today, but we are lucky to be joined by James, who has a smooth friend group. Perfectly orchestrated by our guest tonight, Steve Trasko. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It is really our pleasure. We, to a much lesser degree than you, but we have all been suffering through the strike. So we are really excited to be back. I think some people probably thought we might have packed it up, but we're really excited to have you as our first guest back.
Awesome. I love to hear that.
Yeah, James, this is a standout season 3 sketch.
Yeah, I have to say they're one of my definitely top 5, maybe for a while they're my favorite like sequence in the new season was when Tim's character notices your character and asks if you've got friends and that sort of back and forth. Just the sort of completely over the off the wall like expressions from Tim, and you're just kind of like perfectly played straight man scared like confused look was just that sequence, I love it. So really excited to be able to kind of talk to you about the whole sketch and hear your story about it.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah, no, I usually the thing that's always super interesting to us is hearing, you know, just starting with your casting story. So I sort of think I know where some of the connections are with you, but I'd love to hear your story being cast.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm in Los Angeles and a lot of auditions, well, basically all of them during the pandemic have been self-tapes. I got this audition, you know, from my agent, and they asked me to read for actually 2 roles. So they asked me to read for Mike and then for Aaron, the role that I ended up being cast in. And, you know, so we had a couple pages from the sketch. And then we had to do that, you know, one as Mike, one as Aaron, you know, and then send them in. With larger auditions, I like to coach with, you know, one of my coaches. So then this way I can make sure I'm like delivering the best audition. Just having someone there like watching what I'm doing and all of that, just that's what I want to put out there. So I coached on it, you know, felt really good about it. But then you just like throw it into the ether and you just go on with your life. And they also said, I wanted to tell you this too. They had said for all of us who are auditioning to watch, you know, episodes, which was very helpful because we all know that every sketch has that, you know, one character. A lot of times, you know, it's Tim, but, you know, other you know, actors that are on there, Beck being, you know, the one in this sketch as well. You know, and then we, yeah, like James said, like, you know, we're the straight men. So just that's what brings the comedy is us really like thinking, are they really saying this? And just not overreacting or anything. So yeah. And then I got the call. This was a while ago that we shot it. So I don't even know. A lot of times they'll put you on hold for it, that you're in the running. So I don't know if I just got a straight offer after the audition or if I was on hold. Yeah. And then I was able to shoot.
When you were had you seen the show or heard of the show before you got the audition? Like,
so No. I have not. I book a lot of comedy, and I've been very lucky. But I really like dramas, dramas and procedurals. You know, I'm like the Criminal Minds guy. I secretly want to play a killer.
So what was going through your mind when you were watching those like episodes in preparation for it and like kind of planning how you were going to read the lines for the audition?
Well, you know, I just tell myself that I need to be myself, right? Like that's how I feel like people book things, is just like bringing themselves to the character. And then also, you know, reading it, just the things that, you know, Stuart, like Beck's character, was saying, you know, were just so hilarious. So it was actually during the audition, it was quite hard to not laugh. Well, right. Yeah, and the shoe, we'll talk about that, but yeah. But yeah, so it was I just did my thing, and like that's what we do with self-tapes now, is we just do it. I do like a couple takes and then it's just like whatever. It's like, you know, I'm not gonna spend an hour on self-tapes.
Makes sense.
How quickly do you know that you're gonna be cast alongside Beck and Tim?
You just don't know. You know, after being cast, I did watch a little bit more of the series, and I saw that Tim was in a lot of them, and you know, I remember him from like the Californians on SNL, and I was like, oh, it would be really cool if, you know, I could act with him too, and. But I had no idea about Beck. I had no idea. And so I didn't find out until I was there that they were both in it.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of people have commented that sketch, there feels like there's two Tims. So when I was reading, like if you were reading that, it would have been interesting to try to figure out which character was going to be Tim in that sketch.
Yeah.
And then we got Beck being Tim Robinson-esque. But not to talk too much about those guys. I just, you know, one of the things every time I watch the sketch is how much you accomplish without your speaking lines. Like, obviously, you get, you know, every actor gets to shine when they speak. You really have this understated performance through like your facial expressions. And can you talk about your approach to that?
Yeah. So my career thus far, has been very much, nonverbal. My characters, you know, like, I have booked several commercials, where I don't say anything. It's just all about reactions. I have really good use of my eyes. Like I actually, before auditions, I'll like, this is weird, but you know, I'll like warm up my eyes, because I know like most of the time, like that's gold for me. That's like my thing. I just want to mention Chris, do you know, remember Kristen Studdard?
Yeah, sure. Yes,
she's I interviewed her. I heard that interview, and I actually shot an Icebreakers commercial with her in Mexico City long time ago. And then in that commercial, a lot of it was nonverbal as well. I've done. Like A to Z on NBC, the writers wrote a character for me called Silent Arnold. So I was in like maybe I think four episodes or something and didn't say a thing. And you know, someone on set was like walked by and said, oh, "You have the best job in Hollywood right now." I was like, shh, "Don't tell anyone." So it's somehow that's how it's happened. I was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, just a short little scene with you know, Andy Samberg, you know, and I wore a mask. So I really, really just had one line there, and but it was all about like my eyes in the mask. So, yeah.
I love it. James, I have a million questions, so I want to I want to give you a chance to get in there.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, we can jump into the, like, the actual filming of the sketch. I mean, we're always curious, you know, about if there are any, if you have any, like, memorable stories from the kind of day of filming, either outside of the shoot itself or, you know, while shooting, if there were any kind of, like, interesting things that happened or lines that you saw got cut that you wish had made it in, something like that.
Yeah. So, you know, you just never know who's going to be on set. And I just didn't know who my other co-stars were going to be. And it turned out, you know, you start talking to them in the beginning, and then you a lot of times they'll talk about like your representation, like who's your agent, who's your manager. So the person who was cast as Mike, Timothy Davis Reed, he actually is with my manager. So we had that in common. So we instantly bonded. And then the other actor, Mia Hunt, she, I had seen her at auditions, you know, pre-pandemic as well. And, she, you know, everyone just has really great energy. So I was like, okay, great. This is going to be a great shoot. But then also, I've never shot like professionally, like a sketch, right? So I didn't know how it was going to be shot. I didn't know I think it was like maybe like a 8 or 10 page sketch. So I didn't know if we were going to stop in between, or if we were going to just shoot, like, because a lot of times in other shows you'll do you know, if it's like a 2-page scene, you might stop halfway through, and you know, they'll be shooting the camera one way, and then they'll stop, and then they'll reprogram it, you know, move it around to then do another shot. So I wasn't sure how that was going to happen. So, and you know how this sketch was. It was like line, you know, line here, one person saying a line, one person saying a line, you know, and yeah. You know, at home, the way I do it is I record everyone else's lines. So then this, and I leave space for my lines. Mm. So then this way I can hear, you know, before I get on set, what line is coming before mine. So right. I was kind of stressed about that. And I think we all were. So, before we actually, you know, when we were just waiting to be brought to set, we were just kind of running lines also. Mm-hmm. So that helped us, you know, cause we have to bring it, you know, like that's the thing as guest actors, there really aren't any rehearsals. You just have mm-hmm. to just be prepared. It's so different than theater, you know, where you can rehearse for like weeks. mm-hmm. So that helped relax me a little bit before getting on set.
And we generally hear that the show runs pretty dedicated to a script, but maybe a little less so when there's like a famous actor on the set. So what was your read on that during the sketch?
Yeah, so it was really, very strict, you know, and as far as going off script, it really isn't for us to do that. But, you know, obviously with like Beck and Tim, you know, mainly Beck, there were certain lines in particular that were kind of flexible. And I think because I'm pretty sure Zach directed this episode. You know, it was a masterclass with Beck because the times that he was given the freedom to deliver the what would happen, I'm pretty sure, because like this is what I tell everyone whenever anyone asks about this, is just like it was a masterclass, because a lot of times when you're on set, like the director will give you direction, and then you make a choice, another choice, right, with that same line. And I think that's what he did, but there were times where he would just, like, it would be like every 5 seconds, like he would just do the same line, but then just, it would just be back to back. It was amazing. And then I think then also Zach was like, okay, now just, you know, say something else, or try this other line possibly, and do a whole like roundabout with those different lines as well, which was so amazing. So we really didn't have the freedom to do that, but he did, yes.
Were you like, while he was sort of doing those like iterations on his lines, you're just like ready to deliver your reaction or your line just like over and over as he's doing it, and trying not to break while he's doing that?
Yes, that was also probably the hardest part, is trying to not laugh. You just never know where the camera's at, you mm-hmm. know, and especially since I was seated next to him, I just didn't know if maybe they were doing a two shot at some point. So I had to just stay in the scene during that time, even though most likely it was probably just the camera was just on him probably, but you just never know. As you can see, you know, from the editing, there were some two shots there too. So mm-hmm. yeah.
We've also heard that at times there's like whole sort of like story arcs that get edited out. Was there anything that surprised you that was taken out?
No, I think it stayed the same pretty much the whole time. This was a while ago, so
sure.
But from what I remember, because I didn't have any freakouts where I was like, "Oh my goodness, what's happening?" Like, "Oh my gosh!" Like having to pull something, you know. I was calm. So
one element of the sketch that I feel like is memorable watching it, and I'm curious how much you knew about this while filming or preparing, is the sort of weird, almost like mechanical sci-fi sounds that come along as like Tim's character is like walking up, and like he cranes his neck, and there's sort of like it almost sounds like a machine. Was that in the script? Did you know that that was going to be added in?
You know, it may have been, but a lot of times I'm just like looking at I'm focusing on the dialogue. So, right. So when I saw the final product, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool.
Yeah. It's such a funny, like little thing. And I was mostly like curious if you had any insight about like what the kind of thought process would have been behind that. Like it's such a bizarre character and like interesting sound effect that I almost don't even know what to make of that, other than it's almost like a horror sci-fi kind of playing of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, with sound in production, it adds to, you know, what is happening, and especially it gets the viewer, it like draws the viewer in even more. You know,
yeah,
so totally. It makes them feel certain things too. So I thought that was a perfect choice.
Yeah.
James, I have one fan theory. You know, I like to try to figure out what the kernel is that the writer started with when they made the sketch. I think Tim's character with his big suit and his questioning of Beck's
his big
meeting,
suit. Yes.
I think he was formerly a heavy person. Who needed to make friends in the frat group. So he's really critical of what Beck's eating because he's got some sort of self-hate.
Can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
And also, if I can write one line as good in my life as "we don't yell at me" and create one word as amazing as "squoze" in my life, that's all I would need. but you know, another great element, Steve, and I know, like, you know, this, so much thought has to go on into like developing a character, even for a short comedy sketch. You're sort of like the butt of the joke to somebody who is the ultimate butt of the joke. Like, Tim's character is the worst person that could exist, and he's looking down on you. It's like really a backstory you have to work with. How much do you know when you, like, how much of that is sort of developed during the shooting, or like, do you have that vibe when you go in?
I mean, I can get a sense of what is happening, like, with each character. So this way I'm not upstaging, right? Because, like, that's his moment, yeah. You know? So just listening, and maybe I never really thought about it, but subconsciously, like, I think my mind processed that.
Sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Do you remember where this was shot? I think probably all your sets start to bleed in a little bit, but.
I do. I remember it was easy to get to. So, you know, not at some soundstage deep in the valley or anything. No, it was in Hollywood. And there's near one of the studios, there's like a restaurant. I think that's used for a lot of, I think it is an actual restaurant, but it's used for a lot of filming. So I think maybe they had rented the restaurant for the day or something. Yeah.
And are you one of the many actors who watched this the first night it was released?
I know, because with Netflix, can I say that? Yeah, I guess
you can. Say it anyway.
you just, a lot of times you don't know, like, when it's going to air, like, and, you know, I didn't know if all of the episodes were going to be released together, or if it was going to be, you know, one the first week and then the next week the next episode. I wasn't sure, because a lot of other shows that I've done on Netflix, you just never know. So I think maybe I even, like, I think I had it on my radar, because hello, like, when a show comes out, you know, you want to see what it ended up being, you know? So, yeah.
Have you had anyone recognize you from the show?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I have to tell you the story. No, it's, So it's been a while since I've been recognizable, just you know, because certain things are just air all the time. Like, I was on Austin Alley, you know, for Disney, like, a long time ago, like the first season, and I remember, like, I was on one episode, but all these little kids for like the next year, and even like for years, they would just be like walking, and then they would like almost be like, they would, like, you know, look at me, and then they would like trip, because they were just like, wait, like, do I know him? But so it had been a while, and then I was just randomly in New York, because it came out during in the summertime. So I was in New York, and I was like walking down the street, and this girl was like, I'm sorry, were you? And I think you should leave. I said, yeah. I said, oh my gosh. And she's like, Reddit loves you.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, what? Really? I had like no idea. But there's like memes, I guess. It's like so crazy.
So I'm going to put him on blast. James is like the number one creator of I Think You Should Leave memes in the world.
Oh, awesome.
He puts up roughly like 5,000 to 10,000 a day.
Yeah, that might be overstating that a little bit. But yeah, I just... I have like a Twitter account for I Think You Should Leave memes. That's the main place.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and you can watch him with his progressive I Think You Should Leave memes go head to head with some of the world's biggest knuckleheads who get mad at it. It's really entertaining.
Oh, wow.
I know. I know. But yeah, you are very memed. Probably like, I would guess 2/3 of the total running time of the show has been memed in some way. It's a very memeable show.
Yes.
And yeah, I would expect you're going to be noticed by somebody. Like, I don't think you'll have a year in your life go by where you won't be stopped on the street for the show.
Yes, someone yelling, "I want you," or "Do you have friends?" And then and when you say yes, saying, "No, you don't. You don't have friends."
I've gotten several messages from like people that I like went to school with, like high school with, like randomly like messaging me. They're like, "Oh my gosh,
I love it." I love it. Trying to figure out. So, James, I did watch Steve's commercial reel. And I'm a big NBA fan. He was up close and personal with Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
In an ad. Yeah. Do you, I heard he's a very, like, impressively nice person.
Oh, super nice. Super nice.
Magic.
Yeah. Yeah. And he, you know, yeah. And I've been able to work with a lot of celebrities during my career. Yeah, you just never know. And you just treat them like normal people. And you know, it's, but most of the time they're very, like, very nice, you know.
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg, yes, yes, a Burger King spot.
Jeffrey Ross, James, you wouldn't believe the people who's in this commercial reel.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah, he was very nice. Yeah. Who else? Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's a big one.
And then, yeah, it's been awesome. I've been able to shoot around the world. My first commercial, so I went to school in New York, so I lived in New York for like 6 years, and then my first commercial I booked, shot in Venezuela. When I had first moved to Los Angeles, shot in Venezuela, one of the most beautiful beaches. I've shot like Mexico City, Cancun, Hawaii. You know, all my friends are like, "You're so lucky." And I'm like, "I know. Like, I'm fine with that."
The listeners don't know, but we do most of our podcasts on location at exotic beaches as well.
Yep.
yeah, so we're right there with you. Yes. No, that sounds amazing. And well deserved. I also we've had an actor on, I think maybe 3 or 4 times. We're a big fan of Steve Moulton. Who's been in 2 sketches from the show. And I know you worked on Glow, and I believe he was on Glow as well. Did you guys cross paths at all? Do you know?
No. I, you know, that the scene that I was in, it was a big scene with all of the series regulars, and just there was so much happening that I remember that, like, I didn't really have time to talk to anyone. It was just a huge thing. Yeah.
All right, I had to double check. James, what other questions do you have from the sketch? I think Steve's been very generous with his information. Questioned out.
I feel like we've covered it pretty well, I guess. Well, actually, one thing, circling back, you mentioned that Zach was directing. I know, obviously, Tim is like closely involved in the writing and probably like the planning it, but when he's acting in the sketch, was he doing any sort of like feedback or directing at all, or was he just sort of was Tim just being an actor while he was in that sketch?
Good question.
You know, I'm trying to remember. I think, you know, like they work really well together. So I think it's kind of like, it's like this hybrid almost of, you know, artistic generosity. I don't know. Like, did I just say that? Whatever. you know, so it's like, they just, they just work so well together that, you know, I think, you know, Tim and they have it. Yeah, they are just so used to it now that it just, you know, I don't think there was ever a time like, you know, Tim said like, no, like, you know, it must be this way or something, you know, like from what I remember, it was just like such a positive environment and everyone was just so wonderful. And, you know, you could just do your best work, you know, on set.
Mm. That's cool.
Sounds amazing. And, yeah, and just to,
so nice.
Yeah. And just to shift, can you, talk about a role outside of I Think You Should Leave that you're proud of from your career?
Oh man. Well, so I mean, I have two,
yeah, we got that time
that just come to mind. And, so I had always wanted to be in a Marvel show, and, I was cast in, Marvel's Inhumans, mm-hmm. which only lasted one season, unfortunately. I had always wanted to have superpowers, and I played a character named Duodon, and he would broadcast what was happening through his eyes, broadcast what was happening to the series regulars, and so they did like a life cast on my face, and then they created the
a mold of your head.
Yeah, thing? a mold. Mm. Yeah, and then they designed it and everything. So I wore that on the shoot. And I had to actually have one of the actors assist me walking because I couldn't really see what was happening. Like you'll have to look at the image, but it was just like such a cool experience. And once again, like I didn't have any lines, so it was all very physical and just about you know, movement and all of that.
Yeah, I can link it in the show notes. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah,
prosthetic. Like, prosthetic. That's the name of it.
Got
prosthetic.
It.
Like, yeah.
It's funny also that you know you mentioned sort of your acting superpower, if you will, is in your eyes, and then your superpower in that is your eyes. Well, also is fitting.
It was so cool. It was so cool. I wish the show would have ran longer, but you know it was just everything was inundated with Marvel stuff, I think, at that time. So I don't think people were like, you know, ready for another one, but yeah.
And do you have anything you're ready to plug for the near future?
No, I'm waiting on a call, which is the worst. You know, like I'm on hold for something right now. I can't talk about it, but I'm like, okay, do something. Go do something. Get your mind off of it, because you know that's the thing about acting. It's wonderful to have these experiences and, you know, being on hold for a project, but then it's like, when you don't get it, it's like, okay, you know, or, you know, it's just a lot of mental games that I play with myself, you know? So it's a beast. Being this business is a beast, let me tell you, but you know, I'm very thankful. And yeah.
And to our listeners, Steve sounds very humble right there. But if you check out his IMDb page, he is having a great deal of success. So we loved you in the sketch. We always have the hope. I Think You Should Leave brings a lot of people back. So we're hoping you could be back in seasons 4 through 50.
Love because, that.
Yeah, we really love you in the sketch. And I think there's a real, it's when you're with two real heavyweights in that sketch, to sort of find your own spot in it, I think was really impressive. And like you said, you're sort of acting without dialogue. Is really amazing. And if I were casting sketch comedy, I'd be looking for you in a lot more sketches.
Love that. Let's put that out there. Yes.
Yeah. Put it. And James, do you have anything before we let Steve go?
No, just I guess repeating what Kevin was saying about loved your appearance in the sketch, and also just you know, really excited that you know, the strike is over, and wish you, you know, a lot of future roles, and can't wait to see you in more stuff. And obviously, you know, we'd love to have you back on at any point in the future.
Anytime.
Anytime.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you. That'll do it. Signing off. That's a Chunky.
That's a Chunky has always been supported by the Etsy shop of Swayzine, Swayzine. In the past, you've seen his amazing motivational posters, his at the Nighthawks diner featuring characters from I Think You Should Leave. You also know his vintage jazz posters of Paul Bufano, Marcus the Worm Hicks, and Mookie Kramer. Swayzine has a ton of new items in his shop we wanted to let you guys know about. Those three jazz posters have been turned into attractive t-shirts. The Marcus Hicks in blue, the Mookie Kramer in green, Paul Bufano in white. He has a very affordable Bozo the Clown Clown Pewter sticker that you can put on your computer. There is a Baby of the Year bib and onesie. He has Angels and Archways t-shirts, as well as two new posters, one featuring Dangerous Knights, which is being framed and put on my wall, and an amazing portrait of Brian from the hat sketch, the insider trading sketch. But the whole point of me re-recording this ad was to tell you about maybe the most innovative I Think You Should Leave product I've seen in my time doing this podcast, which is actual Dan Flash's shirts. So this isn't like a t-shirt that says Dan Flash on the front. This is a short or short sleeve polo or a long sleeve collared shirt that has the pattern Tim Robinson is wearing in the Dan Flash's sketch, affordably priced at $30. I know when I went to the Dan Flash's stores at the Creeks, I spent $800 out the door, and didn't eat for a long time, saving my per diem. But if you go to Etsy.com/shop/Swayzine, again, Swayzine is Swayzine. You can own these shirts yourself. And we want to thank Reggie from Swayzine for his support of That's a Chunky.